All right, we're back talking a little Baylor and Big 12 college football. One True Podcast coming to you audio style today alongside John Werner and Tony Adame. I'm Bryce Cherry. Guys, for Baylor, it's another disappointing loss in what has become a long string of them here at the end of the year. Baylor went to Arlington, got blown out by Texas Tech. After that game, I asked a few pointed questions in a column about the kind of to the Baylor assistant coaches, who, of course, do not talk to the media. It's questions that a lot of Baylor fans have been asking, and they were related to sort of the investment that those coaches still have in the program. The word I have received from, you know, those coaches themselves this week is that they're still coaching as hard as ever. What do you guys think the legacy of this coaching staff is going to be?
Well, I think they love Art Briles.
They do.
I think they've shown that.
A lot of loyalty there.
Yeah. I think, you know, their first 8 years here can't give them higher marks, really.
Right.
Help turn this program around. This year, I think some of the assistants were more into it than some of the others. I just think Baylor was pretty sloppy, especially offensively, throughout pretty much the year, especially the last five games. I mean, Coach Grove has mentioned the turnovers and penalties. There's been a whole bunch of them. And, I think some of the coaches were all in, and I think some of them weren't.
How about you, Tony?
Yeah, you know, I think that they get the media, the blackout, the thing they're not supposed to talk. So you give them the benefit of the doubt. You think, you know, they're not going to hear from him. But we have heard from them. And they have, like he said, they made a point of having their voices heard in whatever manner. And we can judge them by that. And I think what you judge it by is that they essentially kind of gave up on the season, that it was more important to them to, you know, fly that flag for their old coach than it was to, you know, take this team and try to guide it into, you know, nobody thought they were going to go undefeated, but to try to guide it. I think the turning point was obviously before the TCU game. We had the night before, you have the mass tweet that just shows that their mind is not where it is going to be. You say 6-0, you really only beat one good team. You had enough talent to beat those teams. You should have beat them. I think the legacy is going to be that, like you said, an amazing run, but what happened at the end when they really had the most, which what coaches teach you all the time, football coaches, what do you do when the worst stuff happens? How do you react in the very worst situation? And I think with them, the evidence is there. How did you react? They reacted in a way that, you know, they pretty much gave up.
Yeah, I think their legacy, I think it's going to depend on who you ask. Mm-hmm. You know, you ask them, I'm sure they would have one answer. You ask certain Baylor fans who I think – there is still a large contingent of Baylor fans who I think are Art Briles, I don't know what's the word I want to use, apologists, disciples, and certainly what Art Briles accomplished here on the field cannot be diminished. You know, came in, he resurrected a program that was absolutely dormant and to the point where it led to the construction of a football palace on campus, and you know that was a pipe dream for years. So, you know, certainly the success they had for a long time, you know, that will be in the record books. But as both of you alluded to, I mean, I think the end was doomed from the start. I think as soon as May 26th happened, I think you could see all of this playing out badly. You know, I said at the beginning when they fired Art Briles, I don't see exactly how you can keep all these assistant coaches. Now, I understand if you hadn't kept them all, you might not have had a season. But, you know, are we – what's more important here? I don't know. I mean, so I just think this was sort of destined to fail. I do think they realized at some point that their own self-created distractions, particularly talking about the tweets right before the TCU game, backfired. And after that, the word that we've gotten is that they realized that they needed to focus on football, but it hasn't translated onto the field.
I thought in that situation, too, it was like, you know, and I agreed with one thing that Jim Grobe said after that. He said he wanted them to have their voice, which I thought was very diplomatic. And I agree with that. But I think the disconnect was they're doing this and they're not telling him they're doing it. They're working outside of the system. And that's just recipe for chaos, seems like.
Well, if any of the games in this six-game stretch to close the season feel like almost a guaranteed loss for Baylor, it might be the one coming up Saturday against West Virginia. Obviously, we didn't really give them much of a chance at Oklahoma either, but Baylor has a freshman quarterback playing on the road. They have a shorthanded depth chart, you know, lack of scholarship players, and the Bears are going up against a team still in the running for a Big 12 title. So give me a percentage between 1 and 100 here. 1 being really, really unlikely, 100 being a lock. What chance do the Bears have of springing an upset?
Now you didn't say between 0 and
100. Okay, 0. We'll add the 0 in there.
Throw that one out there. Johnny, you go first.
I'm going to say 3%.
3%.
And that might be a bit of a stretch. I believe West Virginia is a 17.5-point favorite.
Uh-huh.
I thought it should have been a lot higher.
Wow.
I just don't see how they win this game. They haven't won since October 15th. They're going to go play in 40-degree weather. They're playing a really good team that's motivated.
40 degrees in Morgantown, that's tropical.
Well, that's true, yeah. I don't think any snow is expected either.
I mean, Dana Holgerson's going to be out there in a Hawaiian shirt. He's going to be, you know,
wearing shorts too.
Kicking
exactly.
It flip-flop style.
Yeah, he'll love this. But, no, I just don't see it. I think West Virginia's really good. I mean, Skylar Howard's good. They've got good running backs. I mean, no matter who they seem to put in. They tore a red shirt off a guy last week, and he had like 180 yards. And they've got a really good defense. I don't really give Baylor any chance.
Yeah, I was going to be a little nicer than John, say, and I didn't think I was going to be about 10%.
That was my answer.
Just the off, like, crazy chance somebody, maybe Zach Smith isn't clueless as he looks sometimes and goes off and throws for, you know, 400 or 500 yards, and the receivers for once all are on the same page and, you know, everything clicks. There's that chance because they're fielding a team, but, yeah, no, it just doesn't seem likely at all.
I'm with you, Tony. I also wrote down 10%, which still doesn't seem like a big percentage to me. I mean, you're talking about giving West Virginia 90. I do think Zach Smith made major strides from start one to start two. Obviously, we're talking about him going up against Texas Tech's defense, so we're not talking about the most stout defensive unit in the Big 12, but I honestly thought that loss last week, the offense wasn't great, but that one really, really was on the defense. I mean,
yeah.
3 1-play, you know, quote-unquote drives, 5, like, really long touchdown passes. The defense just got toasted. And obviously Patrick Mahomes is great. You know, he could be a guy we see playing on Sundays next year, but the defense was just pathetic. It was really an embarrassment for those defensive backs for Baylor. They've got to step up, play a lot better. I honestly think Zach Smith is going to be fine in the long term, but this is an almost near impossible task for him this week. So let's talk coaching, which is, of course, a very persistent topic nowadays. It's one we're following, very heavily. So two questions to you guys. Of the rumored candidates that are out there, which are the best fit for Baylor, and who do you think Mac Rhodes ends up hiring?
Well, I'd like to see him hire Larry Fedora at North Carolina. He's had really good success at Southern Miss and North Carolina. He coached here under Grant Taft and Chuck Reedy in the 90s. I think he runs a good offense, and, he's a Texas native. Now, whether they get him, I don't know. I mean, I think this is a tough sell for Mac Rhodes. I mean, Baylor's probably not going to be good for a while. I mean, they've got one commitment right now for next year.
We'll see how long he hangs on.
They've got about 50 scholarship players once the seniors leave. I mean, they're low in numbers. And plus just the whole tarnish from the scandal.
But we've talked about this, though. So if you come into that situation, a situation where they've had a really toxic scandal, where they have lower scholarship numbers, however, you come in, first of all, you only have one commit. You can recruit whoever you want. Obviously, you're getting the leftovers, but you're getting your guys. Secondly, because of the reduced scholarship numbers and all that, I think Baylor fans are going to give that coach a pass for the next couple years. I mean,
they should.
The expectations are going to be tempered.
I would assume they would. Wouldn't you guys, whoever comes
yeah.
in?
Oh, I think
oh, yeah.
so.
I think
a couple
so.
Years. I think Larry Fedora is a good coach. I like, you know, watching his teams play. I guess the one, and I don't even know that this is someone they've contacted, but and we were just having a very spirited discussion in the newsroom about, I like PJ Fleck. I think that wherever he ends up, he's going to put a boost into that fan base and into recruiting and into everything that goes with the program. And, I mean, yeah, maybe he goes, 2-10 the first year. Then he's even the next year. Then the year after that, you're in a bowl. And there's a way to turn it around. It's going to take a little while. And yeah, you hope that whoever they do give the job to, they'll give a lot of rope,
I'm with you guys on both those names. I will throw out a third as far as a really good fit, and it's a guy that they've talked a lot about is Chad Morris. I think Larry Fedora is a great coach. If you've looked at his records over the years, he's only had one losing season as a college head coach, and that was like 6-7, and that's at Southern Miss at North Carolina, so not powerhouse college football programs. But I also, Tony, I think PJ Fleck would be a great hire.
But not from he's not from Texas.
He's not from Texas. And here, there's two sides to what I'm trying to say there with him not being from Texas. One is, does he want to come here?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, a lot of guys that come to coach in Texas have some sort of tie to Texas. Charlie Strong did not. And it's not like it's unprecedented, but I'm just saying, does he want to come here? And not just come here because he's not from Texas, but does he want to come to Baylor and take this challenge on? But the second thing, why I do think it is important to either A, have some sort of Texas tie, or B, have assistant coaches with Texas ties, is as it pertains to recruiting. Because Texas high school coaches, it's a little bit of a good old boy network. And so they're going to feed Art Briles worked that network like nobody and got, early on got diamonds in the rough and later on was able to get good players.
Yeah, you couldn't have a staff without anybody from Texas at a Texas college, obviously.
Right, right.
But let me ask you this, too, and either one of you can tell me this. Why do people think that Chad Morris is such a good coach? Can either one of you tell me why? Is it because he was a good high school coach? Is that it? What is the deal?
And I know what you're saying there, because look at his records at SMU. I mean, they're not.
Well, look at the last game he coached.
He gave up 75 points. The thing I will say in Chad Morris's favor is that when you talk to other coaches about him, they all have really, really high praise for him. Like when Art coached against him last year in the season opener, that would have been his first year, correct? It was Morris's first game at SMU, and Art was significantly worried about that game because he said Chad Morris is a guy who can draw up a game plan and have it have it done quickly and have something that you're not really prepared for. And I remember thinking to myself, that's high praise. I mean, so I guess that's my thing on Morris, is that he seems like a coach on the rise. Has he gotten it done yet? No, but I think that makes him more realistic for Baylor. I don't think they can pry Larry Fedora away. I mean,
I think it'd be really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, as far as the second part of this question being, who do they end up with? I think it could be Sonny Dykes, and I'm not real high on him.
Well, it could be a coordinator.
Maybe. You know, I don't think Mac Rhodes has ruled out hiring an assistant coach.
No, I don't think so either.
Probably not an assistant coach on staff, though.
Yeah, sure.
All right, a little more coaching news. We'll close it out with a little Texas Longhorn coaching discussion. So Charlie Strong obviously got swept up in all those coaching wins as well. Texas fired him the day after the TCU loss. Some may say they fired him before that, but certainly they made it easy, the players did, by going out and laying that egg. And then they hired Tom Herman as the new coach the same day. So another twofold question here. What is Strong's legacy at Texas going to be? And how quickly do you think, or do you think, Herman gets it turned around at Texas?
Well, I think his legacy will be he recruited really well, really underachieved on the field.
Absolutely.
I mean, three straight losing seasons at Texas.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't.
I honestly,
that's hard to do,
was,
I think.
A little flabbergasted by the sheer number of Longhorn fans who, if anybody has a sense of entitlement, a lot of times we think of it as Texas, who were just upset about Charlie Strong getting fired. And I understand he's a good guy. He cleaned up a lot of junk in terms of, as soon as he came in, he cleared house and got rid of the knuckleheads. But, you know, they didn't achieve anything on the field. Occasionally he'd win a big game, and then he'd turn around and lose to somebody he shouldn't lose to.
I want to say, you know, from the start, I would even say from his opening press conference, which I watched, I thought he was doomed. As a former knucklehead myself, let me just say, you just can't take the moral high ground. When you get a job like that, and you come out in your first press conference is, you're the sheriff, you're cleaning up shop. That's great, man. That's great at Liberty or somewhere else. But at Texas, maybe there's a different approach to take. And I think his legacy is, like you said, came in, thought he was cleaning up shop, killed his cupboard, got a lot of talent in, couldn't win, 3 years and you're out. That's the reality of big-time college football. And, you know, you can't go somewhere like that and lose for 3 years in a row and expect to have a job. They're not going to give you that much leeway.
Right. And especially at Texas.
Yeah.
You know, three straight losing seasons at Texas, I'm surprised they weren't rioting in the streets. So how about Tom Herman then? What do we think?
I think he could do a great job. I mean, they've got players there already.
They do.
Yeah, and he's got, I think, probably most of the recruits from this year will
He runs
stay.
The ever-popular spread.
Mm-hmm.
He's proven he can win, you know. But, of course, Charlie Strong, I guess, did a couple years there at Louisville.
I mean, he should do great, but you just never know.
Louisville's pretty far away from Texas. This guy was doing it down the road. You know
right.
what I mean? I think he comes in, and I think the template that you could look at is Michigan and how quick Harbaugh turned things around there. I think if you're a Texas fan, you could expect those same type of results because he's not, you know, he knows what's up. I mean, you could say Charlie Strong did too, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of time spent with them losing anymore. I think with him as the coach, lights out.
I think it may take, you know, 2 years for him to really get, you know, his guys and his system going and all that. But as it is with so many coaches in so many sports, if you get the right players, you know, you're able to look a lot better as a coach. And I think the biggest thing for Texas is what we've been saying now for the last basically since Colt McCoy left. Is that they've got to find the right quarterback. And is it Shane Buechele? At the start of the year, I thought, yeah, maybe. Now I'm not so sure. But he's got to find a dynamic playmaker like the Houston quarterback, Greg Ward, is that his name?
Yep.
Find a guy like that, and yeah, okay, now you got a team.
I'm guessing, I'm calling this right now, I think guys are going to start flipping.
To Texas?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially in this day and age, you guys follow. I mean, look at John's tweet, you know, with the 300, the kids, Daniels, who left Baylor. I mean, these kids are flipping all the time. They are not
I think,
in an era where they can flip. I think these kids are going to start. You're going to see big-time recruits ending up at Texas that have already committed to other places even.
So are you saying Baylor's lone recruit, Jalen Petrie, is going to flip to Texas and they won't have any?
I'm not saying that at all. Jalen Petrie seems like a nice kid.
Herman is a guy who, after one win there at Houston, I think it may have been last year, he got a grill installed into his...
a real, like, $30,000 grill.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going from a coach who wears his khakis pretty high and
he's
a pretty straight-laced guy to a guy that does have a grill.
Yeah.
I mean, they got pictures. I mean, he's hanging out with...
He's going to tweet that out, and he'll get 10 recruits
he's
that
got
day.
Slim, he can get Slim Thug on the side. I don't have to explain to you guys. John probably already knows.
Yeah.
Get Slim Thug on the sideline. McConaughey's going to love him.
Yeah.
That's all you need right there.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, in our next podcast, just as a little teaser, we're going to hear more about Tony's past life as a knucklehead. So.
Okay.
No problem.